I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's complicated. And though I know you can't appreciate it, I'm only happy when it rains. You know I love it when the music. What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, and you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tomorrow, early voting begins in Wisconsin, and Civic Media's got you covered. First on my show, I'm going to go through all the mechanics, all of the logistical Q&As that you and your friends and family may have about how to vote. Is it better to drop my ballot off if I got an absentee ballot or mail it in? When should I mail it in by? What happens if my signature forget to put it on the mail-in ballot? All of these things and more. I will talk about it tomorrow in my show along with a couple of special guests. And then I'm joining our political editor, Dan Schaefer, for a special Know Your Vote show tomorrow night from 6 to 7 o'clock. I'll go through all of this again with Dan. So mark your calendars, get your pens and pencils ready. We'll dump all kinds of useful information on you so that you can make sure your vote counts in this once-in-a-generation election. Because democracy is at stake, and I'm so very happy to have my next special guest joining the Maggie Dawn Show today. His name is Michael Sozan. He is the Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. He was formerly Chief of Staff to U.S. Senator Mark Udall, Legislative Director for Senator Jim Webb, Counsel for former Senator Bill Nelson. He's been an attorney for the DOJ and for the FCC. I'll call you next time, Mike, when I'm wondering if we're FCC compliant here on this station. Thanks so much for making time. Where do you rate this election on the things could go really badly if we reach the wrong outcome here meter?
Well, thanks for having me on, Maggie. There are a lot of concerns. I try to stay optimistic, but we know there's a track record here of Donald Trump and his and the MAGA movement. We know that there are lots of different parts of the system that can be exploited. I think luckily Congress acted in a bipartisan fashion recently when it updated the statute that oversees how the electoral counts are voted by Congress. That's what was being done last January 6th at the time of the insurrection. So it'll be a lot harder for that part to be disrupted. But there are still other parts that can be disrupted, especially in the states when they're moving towards certification of the votes in the states by the governors. And also, I'll just say, obviously, I think we're all troubled by the amount of disinformation floating around about elections and of the amount of political violence and threats of violence that are just becoming more commonplace. And the permission structure that, unfortunately, a lot of our political leaders give to Americans to engage in that sort of dangerous rhetoric.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard the words permission structure so many times as I have in the lead up to this election, both from what I'm going to call the scary end of that stick. And that is folks who used to be, you know, proudly of a party that supported law and order and stood for the rule of law, at least nominally speaking, finding their way to basically act in an extra legal, meaning illegal way to raise all kinds of bogus questions about the election process. In the last segment, just before you came on, Mike, we were talking about that 2022 law that Congress passed to help clarify and put some guardrails around the electoral count itself once it gets to Congress. But as I was discussing Professor Katyal's article with the audience today, you know, he points out and he leans on the very thing that you mentioned, the fact that there have been in mostly red-controlled or deep red states, changes made to the voting laws that operate the governance of elections within the states. And that every time, and he points this out in a really nonpartisan way, just any time you change laws, that then raises, okay, well, how is this interpreted? How is it applied? And that gives additional fodder. And you couple that with the reality that there have been explicit people that have run for local offices that both directly impact the processing of elections or indirectly could potentially do so,
that have fully bought and are fully committed to the big lie, to these conspiracy theories. It's a challenging time. When we think about that for a state like Wisconsin, what should voters be looking at when they look at their congressional candidates that are running, when they're looking at who may be on their state ballots? Because Professor Katyal points to that as almost, if not more important than the presidential vote.
Right. It's so important this in this election for your listeners, for all voters, to be so attuned to what their candidates stand for at the local, state, and federal level, especially in this area of democracy. And of course, there are lots of candidates running who still are spreading disinformation and are still essentially election denialists and are trying to sow distrust in the election. And Wisconsin runs very good elections. Yes. And the processes are very clear on what needs to happen. And the certification processes can be trusted. And that's one thing I hope that Wisconsinites really take away from all of this and from your coverage, is that they should vote and their vote will be counted as cast. And the system is generally very trustworthy. And the chances of any sort of widespread voter fraud is very small. But they really do need to be attuned to what candidates say about the process and hopefully take that into account one way or the other when they cast their votes. And you're right that there are more and more local and state officials, especially on election boards, who have some role in the certification process, that are perhaps election denialists. And that's not a good thing. And we also saw, I'm sure you've talked about this, what happened in Georgia, where some hardcore Republicans were elected to the state election board and now control it and have been passing rule after rule after rule to make it harder for the certification process to go forward, to really reflect the will of the people. And the state courts are having to intervene now. And even the Republican Secretary of State there disagrees with those rules changes. I mean, so these are the sort of things that everybody needs to stay really attuned to. And hopefully between all of us really staying attuned, really demanding the right things from our officials, hopefully with the courts intervening when it needed, when they need to, the system will hold up.
Yeah, that is, it's sort of our best bet is in one, respecting the institutions, respecting the processes, standing for the rule of law, and supporting candidates as voters that stand by the rule of law. Folks, my special guest this half hour for this Monday check-in with the Center for American Progress Action Fund is their Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy, Mike Sozin. You have worked in many crucial roles, both as a direct advisor to elected officials, but also as a subject matter expert within the executive branch departments. One of the things that I often try to share with everybody that's listening, all of you out there, is I've worked in government for a long time, and by far the overwhelming approach from virtually every single person I ever encountered in government were people there just trying to do their jobs well, to do it objectively. It was very unusual that I saw someone bringing a personal political agenda to jobs that were civil servant based jobs and were needed those jobs to be done objectively and independently and without favor or fear. Is that your experience as well? Can you just speak to that a little bit, Mike? Because I feel like there's such, government employees get such a bad rap and we're assumed to all be these highly partisan actors. And it's like, that was the opposite of my experience entirely. And I clerked for a federal appeals court judge who was a two-time Reagan appointee. We never talked about it.
Right. You hit the nail on the head. I worked in both, for the Department of Justice and for the Federal Communications Commission, which is a truly independent agency. And the civil servants at both of those places are so dedicated to just doing the right thing. I mean, as a civil servant working for the federal government, you actually have to take an oath to uphold the law and the Constitution when you start your job, and people take great pride in it. Sure. Civil servants might have political leanings one way or the other. I mean, they're people just like you and me, just like yes. we all are. We have political leanings, but we have to put those aside when we do our jobs, which is to help implement and make sure that the law is implemented in a neutral way that keeps Americans safe, protected, whatever the civil servant's job is. And that's one thing that really worries me, is that when we have a political candidate and a Project 2025 that are going to try to weaken the independence of agencies and are going to try to clear out the civil servants and replace them with political loyalists, that's really dangerous, because our civil service is based on this notion that these dedicated career people, who are actually in many times could make a lot more money in the private sector, are just trying to do the right thing for the public interest.
Yeah, it's up and down sort of federal employment ranks, right? It's not just, they're not just talking about replacing people arguably that have leadership roles that maybe should have a reflection of a president's policy agenda as a partisan. They're not talking about that. The proposal in Project 2025 is getting down to levels of governmental service workers that are protected civil servants and just removing the civil service protections. And I will tell everybody that's listening, and Mike, I'll ask you to chime in too. I have seen partisans in roles that were explicitly partisan roles through the appointment process. They have limited usefulness, and in fact, I don't think are particularly helpful in getting the nuts and bolts of government functioning done. That's why they're not political appointees fireable at will by the elected chief executive. You need people that aren't subject to the whims of an elected official to ensure the continuity of government. And of course, we should always be looking at efficiency and improving accountability. But the solution is not a bunch of political hacks. It's sort of antithetical to the objective that I think we all wish to see more of.
That's right. That's why I think the average American should be and is alarmed when they learn about this sort of tactic, because it really goes against our American values, at least in recent decades, as the civil service has been improved and strengthened. And yeah, look, we all agree that no matter whether they're a Republican or a Democrat, get a certain number of slots that they can fill in all of the agencies under the administration's control. Not in the truly independent agencies, but at the Department of Justice, for example. Of course, a president should be able to have some political appointees there, and those political appointees can help steer the general ship in terms of implementing a president's agenda. But you're right that the civil servants are there they're the ones with deep expertise. They help to advise the politicals on what can and can't be done. And they're there to make sure that the public interest is being acted in. And luckily, they're there as guardrails. And that's actually good for the American people.
Folks, that's Mike Sozan. He is the Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. I want us to take a listen to this, Mike, because J.D. Vance finally told us what we all knew his viewpoint about certifying the electors back on January 6th, what he would have done had he been in the position of Mike Pence. Let's take a listen, Kel. This is Cut 7.
He was asked to not certify it.
Sure.
So would you have certified? I'll ask you for the third.
Again, I would have asked the states to submit alternative slates of electors and let the country have the debate about what actually matters and what kind of an election that we have.
So you wouldn't have certified states. To be clear.
I would have asked the states to submit alternative slates.
I think that's
what I would have done. Again, I've said that publicly many times.
So shocking. My special guest, Mike Sozan, Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to dig into that clip when we come back, Mike. Because it's for all the marbles, folks. Democracy matters. Your vote is what helps protect it. More here on the Maggie Dawn Show after these brief messages on the Civic Media Radio Network.